Hey, what's up? This is AC, also known as Tony from the D, the 313. I just decided to drop in. And today, I'm going to talk about the hashtag Me Too. Hashtag Me Too. Why am I going to talk about that? Because honestly, I can relate. So I can say Me Too. Like, I've went through sexual abuse at a very young age, and it was a process to get over it, to rebuild my confidence and love for myself, and to also forgive my abusers. But one of the things I find interesting about this topic is that, you know, society doesn't take sexual abuse or sexual harassment serious when it comes to men. I understand a lot of, you know, women have been through it, but a lot of men have been through it as well, but it's not acceptable in a way for a man to come forth and say that, hey, you know, I was, you know, molested at, you know, as a kid, or, you know, I was raped when I was young, or I've been being, you know, sexually harassed at work or just out and about as a man, because, as you know, in our society, the man is seen as the stronger, the stronger person, I guess, and they should be happy that a woman wants to, you know, or a woman is sexually attracted to him. So sometimes when men complain about that, other men actually will make fun of him or say, what are you, gay or something like that, because, you know, a woman wanna, you know, come on to him. But we have to understand and respect a person's personal space. Like, if a man does not want to be touched by a certain woman, he should have the right to not want to be touched by her, you know, or sexually harassed by her. I mean, personally, since people do feel comfortable talking to me about certain things, I'm not going to mention any names, but I have, you know, talked to a few male friends who have opened up and told me that they were, you know, molested at a young age, or, you know, raped, and they've been dealing with that in their adulthood and don't know how to, you know, cope with those feelings and thoughts and everything, and like heal from that. So it's a really big issue, and it's not enough, you know, people out here trying to help men who deal with those type of issues. So I most definitely can relate, you know, as a woman who has gone through that. But that's just how I feel about the topic, is that we need more people out here trying to help men who go through sexual abuse as well. We have a lot of help out here for women who go through it. So I think it's time for us to cater to them, to help them through those issues. And we wonder why, you know, men can be sometimes emotional, you know, unavailable emotionally, or have anger problems, or they have an unhealthy view on sex. You know, and they hold in all of these different emotions about the things that they, you know, went through. You know, because a lot of the guys, you know, some of the men that I talked to who told me that they went through those things do have, you know, they don't have a healthy way of coping with it. They either turn to drugs, they turn to, you know, alcohol, or they have anger issues, like extreme anger issues, because they don't know how to open up and say that's what happened, because society won't let them, really. You know, we see that in the media right now, where certain men came forth and about the things that they went through. You know, either they were sexually harassed or abused by a woman or another man, and then I can understand, as a man, that could be uncomfortable to come forth about and say that another man sexually harassed you. So I get it, and I'll say that's my point of view on it. We need more help for men who go through it. Peace. Talk to you guys later.
what's up? This is AC, also known as Tony, from the D, from the 313. The other night I touched on the Me Too topic. And I said I was going to record it tonight, but I end up, as you know, on my other episode, I mentioned how I end up joining with a couple of friends and we had a good conversation. So I've kind of been busy on top of everything else that I had to do all yesterday and the day before. So pretty much what I wanted to touch on as far as the Me Too is that the Me Too movement really revealed a lot of things. Like, it revealed how many people have been, like, molested and, or how many people have been holding that in, like, secrets. Because I read some of the posts and some women came forth and they talked about how they were molested or raped or sexually harassed, and that was their first time ever talking about it. And I found it interesting that a lot of people have been holding that kind of pain in within themselves. And to know that some of those people were molested by family members. One of the things I want to say, like, as far as that, is a very serious situation. But I noticed that when there is a molestation within a family, usually it is kept a secret. Or that person is made out to be a liar. I think as people, if a family member comes to you and say, hey, uncle such and such, or cousin such and such, or my brother, somebody, my father, whoever it is, sister, because sometimes women do it too. I have a friend who told me that they were, you know, sexually molested by the same sex. And so it happens. Women do it too as well. It just doesn't seem as common. But I think as, you know, as a people, if you have a family member who comes to you and tell you that, I think it isn't right to automatically assume that person is lying or you don't believe them due to the person they're accusing. To actually check it out, sit that person down, see what's going on, you know, because I think to ignore it is to leave that person in danger. You know, if you ignore it, if you don't believe that person, then anything can happen. And then you also leave that person dealing with that type of pain by themselves. And sometimes that can lead to them acting out in a negative way. You know, so people who deal with those type of issues need support and love, and they need someone to be there for them, to help them through that time. It's not easy. It's not easy. But yeah, especially within the Black community, I'm not really sure how a lot of people handle it in the, you know, in other communities. I can only mainly really speak from my point of view, the community I grew up in, Black community. And I know that a lot of people kind of push it under the rug or, you know, ignored that issue. And now today we have hundreds of people coming forth saying that they have been molested or raped or have been sexually harassed. At the same time, I know people lie. People lie. We see that too. You know what I mean? We've seen that with Bill Cosby. You know, one of the accusers came forth and they admitted that they lied. You know, some people are going to do that, especially with rich people, because they're just trying to get a check. And it's completely wrong. I think that those type of people should be, you know, penalized and charged for lying under oath, you know, in court. It's against the law to give false testimony. So, I think that person should be charged for lying. Because you can ruin someone's, you know, entire career over something like that. That's not something that you play with. You know, family. You can ruin that person's family. Anything. You can ruin everything with a false testimony. Accusing someone falsely, So, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about, was that, like, if there's someone who comes to you and say that they're dealing with that within the family, to be more supportive. Also, like, I don't know, some people can be kind of careless, because I remember when I was going through one of my situations, and this was actually in the church, actually, I was surprised. This was in the church, and I opened up to one of the leaders within the church, and I told them what I had went through, because it had happened, like, I think the week before. It happened the week before after church at a friend's house. So the following week, I was trying to deal with it the best way I could that whole week. But I ended up becoming angry, because it wasn't the first time that I had dealt with that before. And I, at this point in my life, I was very young, and, well, I was younger, should I say, because when I was younger than I am now. It was a while ago. But, I tried to deal with it the best way I could. And eventually it started to turn into anger. It started to turn into anger for me at that time. And I just remember, I just kept playing it over and over in my head, and I was trying to forget it. And it just became, I just became more angry. And I didn't want to be angry. You know I had the right to be angry. But I didn't want to feel that every single day, when I was actually, at that time, I was in a good place spiritually and mentally and emotionally. So I kind of feel like that person came in and interrupted what I was doing, like what I was feeling, how, what I was thinking. So I was angry, and they violated my space, my personal space, my, you know, what belongs to me, my tempo, you know. So I opened up to one of the leaders, expecting someone to help me through that situation, to help me get over it. And their response to me was to just get over it. It happens. You just gotta let it go and just live your life. It wasn't, you should report it to the police. It wasn't, let me pray for you. You know, how are you feeling? Anything. It was not, it was none of that. It was just get over it. It happens, and let it go. And it was almost as she was angry at me for talking about it. Like, as if I was weak for coming to her and saying, hey, this is what happened to me. And I think that's the worst thing you can do to a person, period. I will never do that to a person at all. I will never do that to a person. If a person tell me that, hey, I've been, you know, molested, or I was raped, or I was harassed by someone, I could never look somebody in the face and be mad at that person for coming to me and telling me that, and then tell them, hey, just get over it. I can never do that. I don't, to this day, I don't know what was wrong with that lady. Maybe it's something that happened to her, and someone else told her the same thing, and she just responded to me the same way. But I feel like, as a leader of a church, that you should know how to deal with those kind of issues, because you deal with all kind of, you know, kind of, you know, all different types of issues when it comes to the members of your church. And there's a right and a wrong way to respond to a person. You know, you expect that you can go to a church because that's considered the hospital. So, you know, Christians say that's considered the hospital where you get your healing, where God could work in your life and help you do different things. You expect to have some type of compassion, you know, feel some type of love there, not to feel like you're the abuser. Like, you're the one in the wrong for even mentioning it. So I just wanted to touch on that. I just wanted to touch on that. That, to never respond to a person like that. Do you know what type of mental struggle you can send a person through? Because then, you know, you kind of feel alone. after a while, like, okay, I did come forth and try to talk about it to someone, and it wasn't okay to talk about. It wasn't okay to talk about. So, to be honest, I'm going to be completely honest. What happened afterwards? Completely honest to you. What happened afterwards? Because that's how I felt. I felt alone, and which means I was already dealing with anger. So all that did was really make me even more angry. And then I feel like I had to handle it myself. And this is part of the reason why I don't like allowing myself to become angry. I don't like the emotion anger. I would allow myself to feel it to a certain level, but I don't allow myself to become like highly like angry for real to the point I'm like blacked out. I don't know like what's going on, what I'm doing. I don't like to allow myself to get to that point. Whatever. So I would rather try to, you know, work on letting it, you know, forgiving, you know, letting it go over time before I allow myself to get to the point where I might catch a case. Because pretty much that's what it ended up going to. I didn't go to jail. But I couldn't, like I said, before I talked to her, I couldn't get it out of my head. And then I talked to her, and she made me feel bad about talking about it. So I felt even more alone in it. And on top of that, the person kept lying about it. And then had the nerves to call me out my name. And that's what set me off. And I was like, really? You're going to call me out my name? And you're going to lie against me after you did something like that? So like at 2 a.m., I drove my car over there to their family house. I was so angry. I was so angry and so hurt because these were people that I trusted. You know, or I considered friends, should I say. I trusted them on a certain level. And I knocked on the door at 2 a.m., woke the whole house up out of anger. I didn't care. I'm by myself. This is how you know I'm mad, because anything could have happened. All of them probably could have jumped me. But I'm so angry, I'm not thinking about that. I'm not thinking about that at all. I'm just thinking about getting to this person who did this to me. That they deserve to be hurt in some type of way. I was angry. So I went over there at 2 a.m., knocked on their door, they opened the door, I woke the whole house up, waited until that person came up, and I punched them in the face. Like, I'm not lying. Like, I went straight over there, and I just swung on them. As soon as they came up the stairs, I just swung on them. And that's because I was angry. Any other time, I would have been in my right mind. At that time, I kind of just wasn't in my right mind. I just was reacting to the anger that I was feeling within. And it was like, whatever happens, happens. Because the worst has kind of already happened to me in a way. And how I felt. So, this is why it's good to not, you know, it's good to not respond to people that way, because it could cause them to act out. I know people right now who has, you know, dealt with the same issues, and people responded to them as if they were a liar, and they're dealing with it badly. They, you know, they act out. So I get it. So yeah, I'm just going to end this episode on that. The Me Too episode. Please show love and support to those who truly, you know, who come to you. To the people that come to you and who's honest and open enough to actually say something. Because to respond that way, this is the reason why a lot of people don't say anything. Because they're afraid that somebody may not believe them. Or judge them or something, like something negative. Usually that's the fear that some people have, you know, about coming forth. You know, because the first time I went through my situation, it took me a long time to open up about it because of the person who did it or whatever, because I didn't know if anybody would believe me. And then it was my first time, you know, going through that situation, and I was very, very young at that time. So I didn't come forth about it until I was like 14. It was a long time. And, you know, my family was shocked. My family was shocked. But I can say that they didn't say, oh, well, you're a liar or anything like that. That they actually tried to support me. You know, at that time in my life, they did. They tried to, you know, to be understanding and hear what I had to say at that time. But for a long time, I was afraid to talk about it because I thought nobody would believe me. You know, so that's the worst thing you can do is when somebody do actually come forth and be brave enough to talk about it, is to treat them like a liar. So, yep, that's part two to my Me Too episode. Enjoy the rest of your night. Well, it's morning time now. It's 5:37 a.m. So, good morning, should I say. But yep. I'll talk to you guys later.